Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And today we are covering Series 16, Episode 2 of Great British Bake Off, A Biscuit Week.
Yum, yum, yum. Crumbs are everywhere.
She ate and left lots of crumbs in the bake-off tent. That's all I have to say about that.
You betcha.
Oh, man. Well, before we start, I have two leftovers from last week. One is a genuine leftover where I said I'll leftover that. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a correction that I must issue, for I am terribly embarrassed. So, number one, the show with Duff Goldman, where he made cake sculptures, Ace of Cakes.
Okay, yeah, that name rings a bell.
I knew it was punny, and I knew it was in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I was right on both counts.
Got him, Sherlock.
You're not even like remotely interested in my findings. Okay, fine. I'll move on.
Was it like a TLC show? What channel?
It was on the Food Network. That's elite television. Next leftover, and this is a correction of myself.
Okay.
When I was discussing the British Swiss roll cake in the shape of a caterpillar, I mistakenly called it Connor the Caterpillar. It is Colin the Caterpillar.
Oh.
And I am mortified, because as someone who lived in the UK for 4 months and has it as my full identity and makes people think that I like lived in London for a time when I was just covering for someone's maternity leave, I feel embarrassed that I made such a mistake.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, especially because you remembered the other cake name, Puss Toms, or what was the other one?
Get it? Honestly, Bits, I need you to stop disrespecting Puss. Cookie Puss.
Cookie Puss.
Like, either say it right or don't say it at all, is what I'm saying.
Okay, Cookie Puss. You got Cookie Puss. I mean, talk about disrespect. You didn't even remember Colin.
Okay, fine. Fine. But you know
what?
We're even. I have decided. I want you to know that I went to my calendar. You know that I live my life on calendar reminders.
Yeah.
I went to my calendar. I picked a random date and I just wrote Fudgy the Whale. And on that date, I will show up to your house with a Fudgy the Whale.
Ooh, I like that. Unprompted.
You are welcome for my friendship.
That can be the day that we watch Jurassic Park for the first time ever in your life.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow. We have so many things that we need to watch for the first time together.
There might be like 20 out by that point, depending on when you put that calendar invite, but we don't have to watch all of them.
Oh, there might be 20 Jurassic Park movies. Mm-hmm. Got it. Well, I eagerly await the day, and you should too. But ladies and gentlemen, we have some business to take care of in the tent. So let's begin.
Nancy, I feel like amuse-bouche is like rude because it's French. I feel like it's actually wrong, so wrong to use in the context of British Bake Off, but I don't know what the like localized culturally correct.
Let's left over that. Next week we will have a culturally appropriate name for the amuse-bouche section of this podcast.
Yeah. Okay, love it. Okay, wow. But what is, in the meantime, what is your amuse-bouche reaction to episode 2?
I love cookies. Mm. So I was really excited to see them. My amuse-bouche reaction is, does everyone know what a hobnob is?
Y'all have a hobnob?
Y'all have hobnobs?
Hobnob brown cow?
Hobnob blahs blah blah? Blah blah blahs hobnob?
Can I interject to say that I did in fact Google hobnob, because okay. I was like, are we back on the millionaire, what do they call you, the Twix bars?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. And they actually made reference to it.
Yeah, they did. And I was like, oh, so now I know it's not that. That's why I looked it up. But anyways, it's actually a brand. It's like an Oreo. So it's like a famous brand that is typically eaten with tea, like you dunk them in the tea. So yeah, it's like saying like we're gonna have an Oreo challenge. Like actually, I actually think it would be almost like a brand name challenge.
Oh, okay, then I'm down with it. I looked it up. It is a millionaire tart which is a sweet pastry crust with a layer of salted caramel, a chocolate mousse filling, and a shiny chocolate glaze.
Yeah, so that was the old one, right? Right. Yep, and that was like a Twix. And this
You're
is
so
like,
right.
Oh, like a granola bar with, you know, it's like sort of like a, I think it's like a breakfast bar or like a power bar that like gets smushed in your bag. I don't think it's healthy. No, I think it's like oats and caramel and salt. And then you like put more caramel on it and then you put chocolate on top. So.
Sounds like breakfast in my household growing up.
I'll have what they're having. It's not my flavor profile, if I'm being honest, but this is a whopping amuse-bouche. So the one thing that I'll add is we got our first handshake.
We got our first handshake.
I'm feeling pretty good about my odds for, what did I guess? 12?
Something. Well, I'm feeling pretty good about my odds for the orange counter. In fact, I think that it's going to blow me out of the water. Would you like to guess how many orange-flavored bakes there were in this episode?
Lay it on me.
8.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, so I'm
it's
already
gotta
wrong.
It's got to be a world record. Yeah, you're cooked. I think you guessed 5.
I guessed 8. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Excuse me. I guessed 7. But to back it up, I guessed 8 Polly D handshakes. Paul Hollywood handshakes, and you guessed 5. So looks like we're both shaking in our boots. Our new boots, because me and Nancy are new boots scooting. We both got new boots this weekend.
Yes, we did. Ugh, check these out. New boots scooting.
But so, yes, I await with bated breath the number of oranges that we'll see.
At this rate, it's going to be like we're gonna over blow the roof 30. Off of this.
Yeah. See you later, Lemon.
I think 8 across Top Chef and GBBO is an all-time record for number of instances in an episode. Maybe yeah. Croquette Fest 2024 takes the cake for that, pun intended.
But if it does, it's by like – it's either tied or yeah. by one – unit.
Yeah, this is remarkable.
This is truly remarkable. You've stumbled on something great.
We are witnessing history here on the pod tonight.
Truly. We got even a literal orange, which should actually count for more. We saw a literal orange in our first challenge. So
let's talk about this first challenge.
Let's talk about it. Okay. For the first challenge, I think the chefs had to do a 12 slice and bake biscuits. I think to us, that's the Pillsbury dough,
yep.
you know, tube. You get
Hell yeah.
around this time of year, you got a little ghoul or you have a little jack-o'-lantern. A black cat, perhaps. I love these.
I love these. These are one of the very few non-chocolate desserts that I adore.
There's something so special, and I can't speak for every slice and bake cookie, but the ones that I've had, the Pillsbury ones, mm-hmm. the only ones, they get this perfect crisp edge.
Yes.
And they maintain this like soft, pillowy yes. center. And then, like, I get in my head about it. I know that the different colors aren't really different flavors, but I get it in my head that they are. And I love it.
You summarized it perfectly with what is so good about these cookies. But what was so crazy, and I feel the need to pause on this for a second, is that they were so insistent on a snap. And I was like, no, that's not what these cookies are
about.
No, that's
not how this goes.
It's about having a little soft spot in the center and a nice crispy edge. And the other thing that was really riling me up, maybe I was just like, I came home from work and I watched the episode and I was still sort of like on an adrenaline kick from the day. Right. But they kept bouncing back and forth when they did the talking heads of Prue and Paul. And Paul was like, it's got to be this. And then Prue was like, and it's also got to be that. And then they bounced back and forth between the two of them like 8 times in yeah. rapid fire. And I was like, chill the fuck out. It's a sugar cookie.
It's
like,
a sugar cookie.
Can
That's
we
it.
Take it down a notch, please?
Yeah. Yes. Completely agree. Nancy, what would be your go-to design in the slice of bake?
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that. In a dream world,
yeah,
this would take a lot of time and it would be an enormous cookie. I'd want.
Why does it have to be bigger, I wonder?
Because I'd want my notarial seal.
Oh, and you don't have the level of precision to achieve that?
Okay. Do you know how many tiny numbers are on that thing?
Yeah.
A lot.
I bet. That's a fun idea for
okay,
cookie.
What would your cookie be, Miss? Oh, why does it have to be so big?
Org. I have no idea.
Come on. You can't even make something up.
I think it would be fun to have a little glass of wine.
Oh, I love that.
That actually might be kind of hard, though. The glass, I bet, is kind of difficult. Unless you did sort of a solid.
I don't know. I feel like the bakers on tonight's episode could have done it.
I think they could have. Or something like a dinosaur.
Jurassic Park.
Not even that. I guess.
You got Jurassic on the brain.
I do. And I'm looking at this little dinosaur on my desk. So that was a pretty clever. Maybe Godzilla. I'll amend it to be Godzilla.
Okay.
Okay. Setting aside the slice and bake of our dreams, these contestants made some wackadoo choices in here. Nancy, give me your top two designs. Like whose ideas were you really vibing with?
I mean, right out of the gate, Tom's Hagia Sophia.
I knew you'd like that one. You love Turkish stuff.
I do love Turkish stuff, including my partner. And people. But also, not to brag, I studied abroad in Istanbul when I was in college. So I have that city holds a special place in my heart. And I
now
love
could
Turkish.
Hold a special place in your stomach.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was just like, of all the buildings in the world, like to do a building in the first place, cuckoo bananas, the whole thing was wild.
Yeah. It was a crazy choice. Did he explain that decision? Did he have a
relationship?
Yeah,
he said
it
was his, like, a beautiful, let me take that back. He said that it was one of the most beautiful buildings he'd ever seen.
Whoa.
Which I agree with.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, huh? Imagine eating that cookie in front of it.
Just going up to the Hagia Sophia with the cookie going,
I've got the world on a string.
That would be kind of insane if you just made a career out of baking places into cookies and then eating them in front of it.
There's got to be someone on Instagram.
There has
that
to be
this.
Someone on the internet already doing
no
this.
No diggy, no doubt. I saw that the other day. That was like flat weave blankets. You know those like nice blankets that are – flat weave's not the right word. You know when you get like those like collegiate blankets and they've got like the fringe?
Yes.
People were selling that in front of locations in New Orleans, and they were of the location in New Orleans.
Damn.
And it was like that, but for blankets. So it's definitely out there. We just need to put it into the universe.
Wow. Okay. On Instagram or TikTok, if you bake cookies in the shapes of buildings and then eat them outside the building, if you could just hit us up, that'd be helpful. And you
compliments
you listen
to
this podcast.
Pod. Yeah.
Once again, do we think there is a Venn diagram of that exists in this world?
We don't. Just clarifying that, we don't want to hear from you unless. No,
stop
not true. We always want
to
hear from you.
We
always
love
want
it.
To hear
from
you.
Bits, what bakes stood out to you in this?
Okay. I mean, I think it's, you know what? It wasn't the most creative. Well, I won't say that. The orange slice was incredible. Let
I'm
me
so
just
happy
state
you said
that.
That. I'm
Let
so
me
happy
just state
you said that.
That one also seems very hard.
Yeah.
I thought cleverness-wise, I actually thought Nadia's avocado was like a clever idea.
I know.
Because I think it was a smart move, and it's just such a distinct visual.
Yep.
So those two jump out to me, to be honest.
Ones that were very underwhelming. Like anyone who did their cat or their dog.
I don't need it.
I don't need it. It's not of interest to me. Also, like a banana peanut filling. No, thank you.
I'm surprised I don't like the filling. I don't want – this isn't a sandwich.
Mm-mm.
I was surprised by the number of cats and dogs and stuff we saw. That seems kind of hard to me.
I agree. Aaron's baby was crazy.
Oh, that was a baby. I thought it was an anime cartoon.
No, it was because it was so funny in the little Aaron lives with his partner. And they're celebrating the birth of their best friend's baby. And I think that it was meant to be the baby.
The baby. Oh, that's why Allison made some joke about it being a baby being deformed. Did you catch that at the judges' table? At the gingham altar? I don't know. No? She made some weird joke and I was like, what does this have to do with babies? But I did love if we could pause on Aaron. First of all, let's talk about Aaron. I feel like, first of all, justice for Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of unduly hard on Aaron. And I this is less agree. In the signature, but they actually really liked his stuff in the signature. He was like he was a pretty strong contender. Yeah. They were like mean to him in the showstopper.
I totally agree.
Thank you. And he is the only person that has their fear, like their fear is correctly placed in the form of Prue is actually the scary one.
Yes.
And he's the only one dialed into that.
Yeah. And they're not being kind to her or him. Excuse me. They're not being kind to him in a way where like feels like everyone else is getting this like lovey-dovey treatment. And for some reason, they're just dogging on Alex.
Yeah. Aaron. What?
Why do I keep forgetting his name and gender? My gosh. Yeah. That was frustrating. But any other cut and slice cookies that you really wanted to call out here?
I liked the idea of the eggs and bacon. To be honest, I didn't get a good look at them.
Oh, actually, I thought that was brilliant. And I did get a good look at it. And it was so cute. I loved
it. Okay, that's very cute. That's very cute. Because that's like a fun idea. It's not something I would – it's just a random thing to put in a cookie. And that's what I love.
Oh, we also learned during this part of the episode that – all of her clothes off. Jessica also loves to go to the skate park on the weekend.
I think we gotta meet her.
We have to meet her. She is.
I think she's probably very cool.
Is she the Great British Bake Off Kevin Gillespie slumdog?
Perhaps. She has crazy hobbies, but she does not paint rocks and leave them for people to find.
Poi man.
Like Poi man does.
All right. Let's move on to discuss the technical. We are back to the traditional format, which I was happy that they weren't doing a new format for the entire season.
Take me back.
I liked that they did it on the first go, like the first one out the gate. I thought that was fun and surprising, but I am happy that they didn't just like completely do a 180. And we have the chocolate hobnob.
The hobnob, hobbing about.
Hob, blah, blah, blah's hobnob.
And wouldn't you know it? It's a scorcher.
Seriously. Here's the thing. The second I saw the detail on top of that cookie, I was like, oh, this shit's going to be catastrophic. Yeah. And it was.
It was. They only asked them to temper chocolate in a heat wave. It has to be over 28 degrees Celsius.
Once again, unseasonably warm in the Great British Bake Off tent.
Unreal.
Just do it inside. Climate control.
I think this is interesting. The thing that's always fun with the technical is that thank God they have the intro because we need to set the stakes somehow. And given that nobody who lives outside of the UK, I actually wonder if anybody inside the UK half the time knows what these technicals are. This one is a little bit different, but I'm really glad they break it down for us because otherwise there would be no stakes. I wouldn't know, okay, oh, you need to cut it first and then bake it versus bake it all as a sheet and then cut it. And now I'm like, and then you watch them do that. You watch the people bake the whole sheet. You're like, no, boy.
Don't you know? We all know this. We're all sitting at home laughing at you. You big dumb idiot. How did you not know? Yeah, no, I love that little scene that they do when Prue and Paul just sit there eating their delectable treats. And they're like, oh, it's perfect. Oh, it's perfect.
Did you catch too when Prue was like, well, you have a bit of a bigger sweet tooth? I'm like, I feel like, isn't that kind of
the job?
Yeah, the job. Like, did anybody check in with you on your sweet tooth? Like, I feel like you need one.
Also, like, Paul gave a really, like, smug smirk to that comment. And I was like, is this innuendo? Paul? Like, what are we working with here?
They got weird innuendo. They work in innuendo a lot in this show.
A lot. I mean, the whole showstopper challenge, what's in your box?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about
the number. Sometimes, I know I said this in the last episode, I get a lot of Allison Hammond compilations on Instagram, but I also get a lot of, like, I think there's one video in particular I've been served like 20 times of people saying sexual innuendos on Great British Bake Off.
Oh, God.
And one is like when Prue's like, tell me about your beaver. And like everyone just can't stop laughing because I think someone made something in the shape of a beaver.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay.
Well, let's get back to this technical. So we see two opposite ends of the spectrum emerging. We've got in the excelling end of the spectrum, we've got Toby, who is just at every twist and turn crushing this technical.
Yeah.
We've never seen precision like this ever in a technical.
No, certainly not on a hobnob. Because we hadn't seen one before this episode.
Speaking of innuendo, isn't knob a bit of a sexual slur?
Yeah, but they call people knobheads, which now I'm thinking about that totally differently.
Do you think it has to do with the cookie?
I don't think so. Which came first? I actually know for a fact this cookie was invented in 1985 or 1984 based on my in-depth research.
Yeah, you
and
know
analysis.
For a fact. Are you a scholar of the hobnob?
I went to Oxford for a year to study the hobnob. I bet somebody studied like... Anyways, we need to like stop dealing in like... What are the odds if someone did this extremely specific scenario? Okay, we got hobnobs, and a lot of them don't look very good. Almost none of them. The whole vibe of the hobnob is basically chocolate, caramel, and oats. And it all came down to how you baked it, the tempering, and the proportions seem to be the biggest thing. And almost nobody. I would say three people, the top three got the proportions right, and everybody else, Poi Mons with like
catastrophe,
like a centimeter of chocolate. I mean, she was having a good time at least.
Yeah, I mean, hers were really bad. Yeah, sorry, I didn't finish my sentence around the other end of the spectrum, which was Poi Mon. Hers were just absolute catastrophe.
I kind of liked it. I mean, talk about chaos cuisine. That plate was chaos cuisine.
But something that I found interesting was Prue was like freaking out when someone had too much caramel. She was like, oh, it's way too much. As if they had put like a mountain on.
It was not
it
that much.
It didn't look like a lot of caramel.
No, it did not at all. I completely agree with you.
I was like, that feels like a perfectly respectable amount of caramel for the fact that it's a literal dry cookie underneath it.
It's like granola.
It looked like sawdust underneath it.
No, it's not very good. I don't think I want
like,
it.
I was like, yeah, put as much caramel on that shit as you need to make it edible.
And double it with chocolate. Oh my God.
But I would say most people fell apart in the decoration of the cookies, where Toby had these beautifully straight feathered lines, but we saw some real L's, I would say, with the amount of frosting.
Major L's. Even, I mean, I can't remember, was it Nadia who took the fork to do the feathering?
Yes.
Okay, that broke my heart. I was like,
it broke
my
heart too. I understood intellectually what she was going for, and then it didn't work out. But alas, we make it to the end. Toby takes the cake, again, pun intended, by a landslide.
What do we think about Toby so far? I feel like he's very up and down.
Yeah.
Like when he nails it, he really nails
it. I am very curious to see how he does in Bread Week, because he's a very technical baker. So I think he's going to come in a bit like chest puffed up, like, oh yeah, I got Bread Week in the bag, and I don't know how he's actually going to perform. But
yeah,
he seems...
could take Noel. He said he could beat up if it was.
Yeah, Noel. I would really like to see that.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Noel take a punch.
Is Toby our guy?
But I don't mean this to come off mean, although as we established last episode, Great British Bake Off is really where we take the gloves off. He strikes me as someone who bakes with no heart. He does it for the feet of like...
He does it for the feet. Like, he doesn't do it for the heart.
He's a huge foot fetish. No, he strikes me as someone... who likes the fact that baking is a precision science. And like, if you follow the rules, you get the results. He strikes me as that type of guy. But there's no fun. There's no joie de vivre in it.
I'm going to keep an eye on him, because I hadn't gotten that full read. But it's always hard. You kind of really have to be deliberate about who you're tracking in the early stage of this. So food for thought. Let's come back to that next week.
The last thing I'll say is I was really excited to see Nadia come in second. I understand that there is a big delta between Nadia and Toby, but Nadia is the closest that Bake Off is ever going to get to a Love Island contestant, and I need her to stay on.
Mm.
I need her there.
Fight it out.
Mm-hmm. For all the silly girls in the world, we need you on there, Nadia.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, let's transition to the showstopper and start with Nadia because I have some thoughts on hers.
Okay.
So showstopper this episode, I mean, how many different ways can you do a box with some shit in it? This week's was, we're going to make a biscuit time capsule, which is, again, a box with cookies in it.
Yes. You know that I'm obsessed with time capsules.
Are you really? Alex just bought us one and we need to bury it.
Oh my gosh. I am obsessed with time capsules, so much so. Actually, when you and I were living together in New Orleans way over a decade ago at this point, there was an article in the New York Times of some, I think it was like at the University of Iowa or something, they dug up a time capsule that they discovered when they were building a new building. And they found all this cool stuff in it. And in the article, they quoted a guy who was writing a dissertation on time capsules, because there was this period at the beginning of the 20th century where America was obsessed with time capsules and buried a bunch of them.
I had no idea.
And at the beginning of the 21st century, people started digging them up because they were like 100-year time capsules.
Right.
And so this guy just like wrote his dissertation about how, like, what was going on in America at the time that made people so obsessed with this idea of preserving it. And he was like a grad student, and I emailed him and I was like, hey, I thought what you wrote in this article was really interesting. Do you have any more information you can share? And he was like, I am a literal grad student writing a dissertation.
Only
like,
doing
no,
this.
It's all I do. But he said, I'll let you know when my book comes out.
Oh.
And 7 years later, I received an email from him. And he was like, hey, Nancy, you probably don't remember me. You reached out asking about my research. It's been published.
Oh, my God.
Can you send me your address so I can send you a copy?
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
He sent it to me. It's an incredibly interesting book. I actually think you would like it.
Oh, I would definitely read that.
I'll bring it to you next time.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. What a fun story. I can't believe I've never heard this story.
I know. I can't believe I haven't told you that either.
Glad you put that story in a time capsule.
Yeah. Well, anyway, none of these time capsules would have cleared his bar. I'll say that.
Wait, I'm so blown away. That's so – I love that. I love that kind of stuff.
Me
That's
too.
Really cool.
I love people. I love time capsules.
Yeah, this one was an interesting one. I mean, you know, this isn't our first rodeo. We've got what kind of cookie are they going to use? What kind of like bonding agent are they going to use? Is it going to be like royal icing? Is it going to be caramel?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say as a general note for this showstopper, I feel like we got a lot. We usually always get the like rigmarole around like, oh, you got to pick a cookie that's structurally integral.
Yeah, we didn't get that at all.
No, we didn't talk at all about the cookie type. And there was some gingerbread, but it was not all gingerbread. Maybe most of it was gingerbread.
Most of it was gingerbread. Yeah, it feels like they did really judge the gingerbread, but we didn't get any talking heads about like, make it a structure that's this. And like they always do like overbake it and it's burnt, underbake it and it's soft.
Yeah. And the way they say it makes it sound like it's like the first time you've ever heard that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. So, right.
Yeah. But yes, I agree. It was essentially a lot of square cookies. And sometimes they were very inconsistent with where they rewarded the square cookie and where they did not reward the square cookie.
Yes. Yes, coming back to my boy Aaron.
Yes!
Who, they're like, okay, he did Sugar in Spring. It was like kind of, it was like cherry blossom, Japanese inspired. Yes. It was very, I'm confused. I actually thought that looked beautiful. Notwithstanding the broken bridge, but.
He was trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And he was one of the very few people who didn't just make a box and put cookies in it.
Yes.
And yet. They were so rude to him.
I completely agree. Justice for Aaron.
Like outwardly rude.
I was like, I guffawed.
You go what?
Isn't that how you say it? I guffawed.
Oh, guffawed. I thought you said, I go fod. And I was like, what does that mean? No,
is that how you guffaw?
Guffaw. Yeah, I guffawed. Oh. I go fod.
We guffawed on this pod.
Hobnob. Hob blah blahs hobnob guffawed.
Oh my God.
We're losing it. Okay. We are absolutely losing it. This might not be our best episode ever. Sorry, guys.
This is okay. In the same way we're watching Toby, I'm going to watch Aaron because I feel like he is deserving of a hero's journey. This is just the beginning. I'm watching you.
I'm watching you. I know. I like Aaron. I had him in some of my predictions. It's going pretty far. So I'm excited to see what he comes up with. But I was frustrated by his treatment at the hands of Paul and Prue, who just seems so rude to him.
I agree. I agree.
But let's talk about – so Jessica's box, all of her clothes off box, was beautiful. The stained glass was gorgeous. I loved it. Loved, loved, loved it.
Love a little sugar work.
Lots of sugar work. And then other boxes that
– wait.
Yeah.
Silly story alert. Okay. I actually, it was a lovely box. Leslie's box. I thought looked really texturally beautiful.
Yes.
Both her and I think Nadia did like a nice texture. I know hers was the picnic basket. But Leslie's story, she kind of really like buried the lead on it about her dog eating weed that he found on the beach.
I have that on my thing too.
Super high. So funny.
I loved that.
Oh my God.
Leslie is the type of old lady I believe you and I aspire to be. Like just a little kooky, not a care in the world.
And just care.
Like letting life happen.
I knew the second she was piping those Viennese's that I was going to like what I saw. And she nailed it. They were like, this is an amazing Viennese.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch her. Who else would be excited? You know what? I feel bad. I feel like Leighton had, outside of the orange slice, kind of had a tough showing this week.
Yeah. They said his piano lacked finesse. Oof. Hate to see it. Oh, loved that, like, one of Leighton's little vignettes of his life. He comes out. He's like, it's 1 o'clock. And he's like, my best friend, I don't even, like, Marjorie and I. And I was like, oh, my God, Leighton. Once again, another aspirational almost old person.
Oh God, love it.
How can we skip this part of our lives of like corporate slaves and just get to like the Leighton and Leslie part of our life
where it's 1 o'clock all the time, even without wine?
I love wine. I don't,
I love wine,
but I'm quoting the sketch.
Nadia's to go back to Nadia's picnic basket, her tomatoes were so cute.
They were so cute.
That looks so nice. That to me, like, that's the way you do it. some of the objects in the box were just very, not hers, just in a general sense, like really crusty, you know, like some of it just, there was like not polished. It was not polished. Hers was, I'm like, okay, this is very clearly a cookie, but you've done enough to like, you know, what is it? Trump Loy.
Yes.
I'm tricked.
I loved it. And talk about beautiful cookies in a box. We got to talk about Poimon, who had the comeback of the century. Like, her showstopper was so good that you couldn't even entertain a conversation about her day one.
No.
The
no.
cookie she made that was a framed photo of her parents was so cool.
So cool.
I mean, that
had to have been a mold, right? Like, how did she make that frame?
No. They didn't spend any time on that. Like, how did she make it?
Okay, I needed to know that. That was so cool. I think it was probably a mold, but even so, like, it probably takes a lot to like, get it out of there without breaking it. And the thing that got me was the moment where, you know, she's reflecting on
the restaurant.
So her thing is a jumbo boat floating restaurant, which I love. I love the specificity of that.
Jumbo like, Kingdom.
You know, we would always go there for Chinese New Year. And I would always go with my parents. And then she kind of segues and she goes, unfortunately. And then I'm waiting for her to say something like, you know, unfortunate that happened to her family. And she goes, unfortunately, it sank.
Like, oh my God. That was the funniest reveal. But I was actually thinking that she was going to say something around like the political troubles in Hong Kong and like it got bombed or something. Like I thought I knew it was going to be about the restaurant.
No, the
I actually didn't think
boat.
It was going to be about the parents, but like I was not prepared for the restaurant sinking.
Too sink.
I actually I jumbo want a leftover. Boat. I'm going to leftover the sunk? Sinking of Jumbo okay. Kingdom
yeah.
because I think we need up.
a whole segment on Jumbo Kingdom.
Yeah, we need it. See, this is the thing that's so funny about the show, and I'm sure they don't mean it to be, or maybe they do, and they're just like, we ride. They give you just enough to be like, what? Did they just, what?
They just
like,
say that?
They don't explain things that need explaining. And so I guess that makes our job fun because we get to like dig it up. But
yeah, okay. Tune in next week for a description of how the Jumbo Kingdom sank in the harbors of Hong
the
Kong.
The sinking of the Jumbo Kingdom. Hopefully nobody was on board.
Yeah,
what do you call
I really hope no one got hurt, because if someone got hurt, we're not going to be able to laugh.
I know. We'll have to
it's a huge boat. I need to stop asking questions. Like, I wonder how long it took to sink. It's like a whole building.
I mean, yeah.
Also, like, how deep is the Hong Kong, like that river that flows?
It probably didn't sink that. I mean, it's probably right along the riverbank. It probably was like, I don't think it's that deep.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. Look at me speaking like I know anything about the bed of the river of the Jumbo Kingdom. Jumbo Kingdom's home.
They say you can still smell the dumpling dipping sauce to this day. It's going to be like the Boston Tea Party. Like, they still find like tea bags at the bottom of Boston Harbor.
Oh, this was the best part of this whole episode. So crazy. I mean, that thing had height too, and when it was above water, and the cookie tower.
It's huge. It's like a 4-story building. She said it was a boat. I like, my brain could not compute.
You know what I want to do? I wouldn't go. I still have not been on the SS Intrepid.
Oh my gosh. I actually went for the first time a few years ago for my mom's birthday.
Wow. That surprises me as like a De Silva family activity.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect my mom to be such a hardcore Navy nerd. She was not. We were like, what is an activity none of us has ever done in our lives?
Wow.
And despite being
never
lifelong
have
New Yorkers,
I ever Intrepid.
None of us have ever been to the My salient memory of the Intrepid when I was like, I think we were in middle school. They moved the Intrepid to get cleaned. Like, the Intrepid was being taken to a far off base to
rub down,
you know, be whatever. And they had this huge ceremony for the Intrepid leaving on the Hudson, and it made it like about 15 feet and got stuck at the bottom of the Hudson. And then the Intrepid was just like in the middle of the Hudson for like a week. They had to dig it out.
Oh my God. Wow. Just so it could go back and sit there.
A lot of like naval disasters on this pod.
There's a ton of I mean, I watched okay. Sorry.
I know what you're about to say, and I want you to know that I watched it too.
The one with the depth?
What?
No, we're talking about different naval
disasters. Oh, I thought you were talking about Poop Cruise.
Oh, Poop Cruise was great. But I did watch a YouTube video that broke down like at what depth these like famous like sinkings, like where the boat's final resting place. And it's shocking how deep some of these boats have sunk. Wow. Like, Titanic is, like, towards the deeper end, but is not the deepest.
Well, don't get in a submersible to find it. Okay, we've really gone far afield. I'm so sorry to our listeners. The one thing I'll say is I do feel like we need a Titanic-esque Christopher Nolan film for the sinking of Jumbo Kingdom.
Yeah, that's
it. There has to be star-crossed lovers in that restaurant, and they, like, find each other in the...
For sure.
Let's close this out. So we come to the end of the episode. Oh, actually, no. We need to talk about the big headline, which is Tom, who made a box in the shape of his grandmother's cabin or cottage, excuse me. And it was so cute. It looked like it was right out of a fairy tale.
It was perfect.
And it was, to quote Prue, faultless.
Mm.
Just great. He gets the very first Paul Hollywood handshake of the season in a showstopper.
That's awesome.
Good for him. That was really exciting.
That was awesome. I'm excited to see him. I think, yeah, he's going to be like the precise and like he's going to be the showstopper.
Oh!
I really wish by this point, I know it'd be too gimmicky for them to do this, but I wish that they would give Prue a gesture, you know? Like, what's Prue's handshake?
Like her own signature thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like maybe she lets you wear her necklace.
Oh my God. Any one of her accessories.
Like a lei.
What I would give to wear a funky pair of Prue glasses.
Yeah.
I wonder what her prescription is. Anyway, we have star baker Tom after his exceptional performance across the board. And then unfortunately eliminated, I was surprised we had Leighton.
Sad.
I feel like they were almost scrambling because it was so obviously Poimon for most of the episode. And then she knocked it out of the park in the showstopper that they couldn't even consider her.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And he did have those really good orange slices, but tough.
Tough.
Yeah, I liked watching him. That's a bummer.
I know. But alas, we say farewell to Leighton. He's a fabulous man. I hope he enjoys Wine O'Clock every night. Mm-hmm. Bits, do you have a judgy table?
I can pull one out, though, if you got one.
I've got one.
Okay, let's kick it off with you. Oh, you know what? I do have a judgy table.
Okay, thank God. I can't be the only one out here being obnoxious. Cool. It is possible. I just need to put this on record. It's possible that I've done this judgy table before, but I can't remember. So I'm going to do it again. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nancy, your judgy table starts now. Prue, you need to grow up and like peanut butter. I am tired of her shitting on every peanut butter dessert. I don't know what happened in your childhood. I know you grew up in South Africa, and I think we read a story where you killed a cat. Like, why don't you like peanut butter? It is a beautiful, delightful flavor. And it's just across the board whenever anyone does peanut butter, she's like, I don't like the peanut butter. No, not for me. I'm just like, get out of here, lady. Like, open your horizons. We know Paul Hollywood hates matcha. He still eats the cookie. We know Tom Colicchio hates okra. He'll still eat the dish. Why do you have to be such a naysayer on peanut butter? My gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm done with it. The end.
Good pick.
Thank you. Good pick.
And even if you – I think you did do that one, but, like, it bears repeating.
It bears repeating.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's so expensive to import peanut butter to the UK.
No, I mean
– Prue's not about the tariffs. Okay.
I feel like they always have peanuts at bars, though. Pubs, sorry.
Yeah, but they don't make peanut butter there. It's like a very American thing.
Yeah, it is. It is very American. I don't know. I'm trying to. I mean, they do a lot of stuff I don't like. So I guess you know, tit for tat. Okay, this is okay.
Bits, your judgy table starts now.
This is not like a judgy table. Maybe I'm judging. It's my own. I'm judging my own self. Puimon's necklace looks like the Shrek logo. And I can't unsee it. And it's this beautiful necklace. It's actually gorgeous. It also reminds me of like an Anne Boleyn or, you know, in the – okay.
I need you to know I don't know.
Her necklace reminds me of an Anne Boleyn, you know, necklace and the Shrek logo. And I will send these two photos to prove this.
Okay.
This isn't a judgy table. It's more like an observation I didn't have anywhere else to put.
Stray observation, judgy table. It's allowed. Okay. It's allowed.
Okay.
Look, we are dusting off the cobwebs of our pod recording. I think this episode is case in point on that one. So it's okay.
Dude, but you're going to be actually blown away because I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the necklaces and you're gonna
be blown away. Well, I need to go look at Poimon's necklace. So I'm going to go pull it up on Netflix. You send me those pictures. And everyone else listening at home, we'll see you next week on Compliments to the Chef.
Bye. Bye.